Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality was usually scoffed at, illusion was usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. And they're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And out across the world, if you want to call us in, at 831-464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Camille Giglio, and we're going to be talking about the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. Now, it's important that you understand that things are never what they may appear to be. I was reading that there was a ship. It was an oil tanker. It was known as the Condoleezza Rice. But shortly after the Bush administration came to power and Condoleezza Rice became the director of the National Security Council, the chief advisor, foreign policy advisor to the president, the Condoleezza Rice sailed out of the harbor in Angola and of course came back as a different name because of course they felt it would be inappropriate for a oil tanker to be named after the woman who was advising the president. And of course it's very difficult for the American people to understand that the war in Somalia, when we sent our boys over there in 92 and 93 and of course we're involved in what was called Black Hawk Down, that was really all about oil over in Somalia, because there were a lot of countries around there where the people were starving to death. But of course we needed to establish a stable government so that we could begin to explore the oil off the coast of Somalia. And it's very difficult for people to believe that the new president that we've installed in Afghanistan, after of course killing and eliminating so many of the wicked Taliban, just happened to have been an advisor for a Unocal oil company, or that we now have made arrangements to build an oil pipeline across Afghanistan. In fact, the negotiations were underway all during the 1996, 1997, 1998, 1999. But when the Taliban wouldn't go for allowing us to build the pipeline, we gave them a choice. We'll either pave your streets with gold or pave them with carpet bombs. And of course, that's told in a book called Bin Laden, the unknown story. But of course, you can't get that book here in the United States. It was published in Europe. And so there's so much that people don't understand. And of course, one of the big things today is that we're moving towards a situation where you will be forcibly vaccinated. People can be put into various types of camps or in quarantine if they refuse to be vaccinated. Well, that's the craziest thing. Vaccines are supposed to protect us from infected people. Why would they want to isolate people or quarantine them if they refuse to be vaccinated? That would be their problem, not society's problem. But of course, there seems to be a different agenda going on here today. And suddenly now, since September 11th and our war on terrorism, then we're told we face a threat of anthrax attacks or smallpox attacks or genetically altered pathogens. Well, we have with this Camille, and we're going to talk about the Model Emergency Health Powers Act, which is going through our legislature here in Sacramento, but it is being pushed, coordinated all across America in every one of our states, at least those with the legislatures in session. Some of our state legislatures only meet every couple of years, so in those states, why it hasn't been considered yet. But Camille, is it what, 36 states are now considering the legislation? Seven others are going to consider it. What's the background there?
Yes, that seems to still be the situation. There are that number of states that has the bill somewhere in a committee or being written up or being considered or being discussed. but there's 37 of them.
Well, somebody must be coordinating this. Somebody's got to have a lot of money and organization to get this legislation introduced in almost every one of our states. Who's behind this effort to change the laws in our states to give draconian, literally almost dictatorial power to the state governors?
Well, this, surprisingly, is something that started quite a number of years ago. In fact, apparently, this desire to write some sort of Health Powers Act, or to actually go about changing the way health care is delivered in the various states, started back in 1988 with a piece of federal legislation called the Kennedy-Kassebaum Bill. And it included in that was a request to the Congress that there be written sort of some new regulations for the delivery of public health services. But the Congress dragged its feet and didn't want to do it, and so they passed it on to Health and Human Services. And Health and Human Services didn't get around to writing it over the years, and so it finally, in about 1999, got passed to the Center for Disease Control, and they agreed with a contract for about $900,000 to write a Model Emergency Health Powers Act, which apparently didn't raise its head at all until after the 9/11 incidents with the terrorist bombings of the Trade Center and the Pentagon and so forth.
Well, I don't think that the American people would have stood for it before, but now that we've had the terrorist attack, do you feel that they are perhaps using the fear that goes along with that to justify passing this truly draconian legislature?
Oh, I think that's true. I think the legislators and the National Governors Association and a variety of other organizations felt that it was an appropriate time to bring it out. But the good news is that the bill was severely amended in the State Assembly Health Committee and the Government Organizations Committee. So a 30-page bill has gone down to about 5 or 6 pages now.
But aren't they going to appoint a commission that will, of course, suggest all of these things, or, you know, we're afraid that they'll suggest all of these things like mandatory vaccination, whether you want it or not?
Well, that's the bad news.
And, of course, that means you'll be a misdemeanor, you can be sent to prison. But even more frightening, why would they want to, if there's an epidemic out there, you would think people would be allowed to stay in their homes rather than forced into a situation where they'd come down with the disease from other people.
Well, that seems true. And even though the bill has been greatly amended, and
I'm going to have to interrupt you there, because right now I suddenly see we're at it, but we'll be right back to this with Carmen Giglio. But right now, certainly I want to mention to our listeners that, you know, as we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and believe me, it's an expensive proposition to do what we do. And if you'd like to help us, of course, one of the things you could do would be to change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision, which is a Christian long-distance company. And if you don't already have a Christian long-distance carrier, please call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. The rates are very, very competitive. The service has been excellent. I tried to call AT&T today for 45 minutes before I got a live human being. You call Promise Vision, you get a live human being every time. And you can reach them by calling 866-448-5631. My producer says we're off the air on the Internet. Please call the house of right now, and we'll get back on the Internet again. And then, of course, we also want to mention that we also carry something called the Phenopoly game. And the Phenopoly game is available. It's actually 5 board games and 2 bonus games that will teach you how to read phonetically. And so if you would simply consider calling 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. You can purchase a Phenopoly game. We give you 2 free books. You'll get the 5 board games. You'll get the 2 bonus games. But more than that, you'll get the ability to teach your children how to read and spell phonetically. Again, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, Our Values, Our Future, are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and Carmen Giglio is with us, and we're simply talking about these draconian things that they are planning now. We already find that they have these camps actually set up all across America. It's almost as if somebody was planning for what is happening now a long, long time ago. Camille, why would they want to force people to be vaccinated? And certainly if there's an epidemic, why not let them stay in their homes? Why isolate them or put them into camps?
Well, I'm afraid that's not something that I can answer, because I can't understand a mind that would be planning in that direction. All I can do is try to track these things and alert people to the fact that this is happening. But it does seem to be that there is more interest in making the public health department the dominant department to direct and control people's health activities and many other activities in their lives. It's very obvious that there's still quite a push for a universal health care program, even though Hillary Clinton's committee of long ago died. It actually resurrected itself in the form of legislation in the various and sundry states. And this Health Powers Act was actually written by a man named Lawrence Gostin, who was a member of Hillary's health care failed health care committee.
Well, of course, one of the things that they can do is they can literally draft doctors and force them to work and give the examinations and administer these vaccines, and the doctors certainly face severe penalties or the loss of their medical license if they don't do exactly what the government tells them to do. Isn't that true?
Well, that does seem to still probably be a part of it. What happened to this bill was, as I said, 30 pages got reduced down to 5 pages, which one might say is good. The bad part of it is that what has been left in the bill is the creation of a commission, which was also a part of the original bill, but in the original bill, the commission was only like about 6 members. Now it's up to 25 members. And there is not going to be anyone any member of this committee who is an elected official. So it reminds me very much of Hillary Clinton's original Universal Health Care Committee, in that it's all going to be representatives from various industries, businesses, organizations, public interest organizations, of people appointed by the governor or appointed by the legislature or the health department. And the health department itself, the public health department, is going to be very, very prominent in directing the activities of what should happen when and if there is some disaster. So it's then removed even one step further from the people.
And, of course, they have titled this the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. In other words, they're going to use health to justify increasing the power of the state. And, of course, they're saying this is just for emergencies, but the governor can declare it for any reason that he thinks there's an emergency. For instance, right now, of course, the California Medical Association has told doctors that they should put into their bylaws that they really can sort of stop taking emergency call. They don't have to take emergency call as ordinarily they would. And that would create a health emergency if doctors all across California should say, we're not going to take emergency call. We're not getting paid for it. We're not having right here in Santa Cruz, the surgeons are on call every fourth night, which is a telling, a very, very a difficult thing to do. But, of course, all they have to do is find any excuse for declaring an emergency, and suddenly they can begin to invoke these draconian rules and regulations really at the discretion of the governor of the state. Is that, would you say that's true?
That appears to be true. The one part of this newly amended bill that really I think is the telling part of it is in it's as I say, it's very short now, but it's going to require the commission to include in its report on public health emergency law revision a comparison of the model state Emergency Health Powers Act with existing California statutory and current practices. But the part that's most interesting is the commission will give a recommendation for possible adoption of provisions of the Model Act. It doesn't say anything in here as to whether or not the legislature gets to vote on this. Once this bill passes in its amended form and a commission is formed, the public will never hear about it again, because there will be no more voting on it. And we really won't know what's in it unless people, you know, make very strong demands on their legislators to be informed, even though, there's no other way to do it.
Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me is this whole idea is that we can force people to be vaccinated because, of course, some public health officer says that we have to be vaccinated. Well, we saw that with the swine flu vaccine, maybe a decade and a half ago, and far more people died of the vaccine than died of the swine flu. And we saw this with the other things that the government has done. You remember the Tuskegee study where they recruited 400 black men and not to be treated. They had syphilis and they were not going to treat them. And they actually left them there to die so they could autopsy them and find out how the disease had ravaged their body. And nobody in the public health service was ever held responsible for killing those black men in America. But you say, well, that could never happen again. Well, we know that other things have happened again. We know that the initial polio vaccine that they rushed onto the market, the Qatar vaccine, had live polio virus, and they knew it had a live polio virus in it, and they gave it anyway, and hundreds died, and many hundreds were crippled permanently because of that. And then, of course, they switched from the one monkey species to another monkey, from the rhesus monkey to the green monkey. And then, of course, we started giving people a cancer-producing virus, the SV40. Can we really trust the public health officers who see many of them to have an agenda? We see how well they've controlled the spread of AIDS in this country. We now have over 470,000 people, almost 500,000 dead because of a failed public health policy, because they've absolutely refused to do what is logical to deal with this disease as with all others. And my understanding in this new legislation, this will apply to everybody but people with AIDS, HIV disease. What sort of madness is that? Why will that epidemic be treated differently than other epidemics?
Well, it sounds like they have their own very good lobbying capabilities. One other thing about this bill that is kind of misleading is that it specifies that the bill's provisions shall only be implemented to the extent that private or federal funding is available for its implementation. Well, we know that there are millions of federal dollars waiting to go to the states that adopt a model some version of the Model Health Powers Act. It's already been stated that there are millions of dollars waiting. So to say that it will only be implemented if there is private or federal funding, it's already a given that there will be. So we know that this bill will be implemented.
And, of course, there must be another agenda behind this, because they're going to such great lengths to get this passed and to have the money already on hand. What is the real agenda behind wanting to forcibly vaccinate people all across America. And we know you have people who have an altered immune system, from immunosuppressive drugs, or chronic rheumatoid arthritis, or people who have HIV disease who have an altered immune system. Certainly a lot of children, they're getting so many vaccines already. There are potential complications with mass immunization. Certainly even for smallpox, the CDC has said we shouldn't be doing it because you'll get probably more damage from immunizing everybody. I mean, certainly immunize, if it's smallpox, immunize the people ring around the disease, but don't immunize everybody. And yet, of course, they seem to be intent upon doing exactly what is not medically indicated. What are your thoughts on this? What sort of madness is behind this?
Well, again, it's very hard for my mind to anticipate the mind of these people who want to grab authority. I have to admit that it's constantly a scramble to try to keep up with all of this, but it does appear, again, that there is a great effort on the part of public health officials to make the public health department the medical authority of choice for everybody. It's a way to bring in universal health care and to bring it in. They've been bringing it in piece by piece through a lot of these programs to enroll children in what they call the CHIP program, the Child Health Insurance Program. There is a great deal of talk now about revising the healthcare system itself. There's a lot of reports in the newspapers about the healthcare crisis, the fact that the healthcare program is in a state of crisis, that it's such an overwhelming expense, and they bring in the economy, and they get everybody very frightened, so that the answer is going to be, for everyone, universal health care. They will continue to put fear in people's minds until the general public sits back and says, well, I guess we've got to have universal health care because there's no other way to provide for everyone.
All right, we're going to have to take a break there, and on that cheerful thought. right now, of course, I want to mention to our listeners that Radio Liberty is carrying something called Miracle 2 soap products, and we've been very, very happy with them. Certainly, I will guarantee it's an excellent soap. I've used it now for the better part of a year, and you know, you just don't have any soap film on your skin when you get all done, and of course, it has many, many uses. It has a lotion and a gel, and I put the gel on my hair, and my wife, of course, uses all of the products. She takes a neutralizer because it seems to help a gastric reflux, at least she seems to think it does. And, of course, we have many of our listeners who have taken this, utilized this, and it's helped their rashes. We don't make any guarantees on anything at all other than the fact that it's good soap. But if you'd like to get more information, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you'd like you can get the introductory offer by giving a call to that same telephone number. Now, we were talking a little bit ago about concentration camps. We have a 4-tape set on concentration camps with people who have actually studied them. We even have a concentration camp special where you'll actually see the camps, the videos of them. They're there. They're all sitting just empty. But, of course, the government does have a plan. And you'll actually hear, if you get the amazing clips, which you get with the special, Congressman Gonzalez saying, yes, there is a plan in place. In case, of course, of a national emergency to begin arresting Americans and putting them into detention camps, you'll see the Iran-Contra hearings where Congressman from Texas tries to get the information out, and a senator, in a way, keeps interrupting him so the information can't get out. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask either for the 4-tape set on concentration camps or the concentration camp special.
Book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, En Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry, Theosophy, And he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today. And unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Carr.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this afternoon is Carmen Camille Giglio. And right now, of course, we're talking about the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. One of my regular callers called in the other day, and he said, you know, I talk to people about your program, and they say, well, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear something positive. Well, you know, our job is to tell you the truth. We're to be the watchman on the wall, described in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33, and to tell you what's going to happen if you don't get involved in the process. You may want to be positive. I'm sure the people in the concentration camps in China today and the concentration camps in many parts of the world would love to be very positive, but of course they have a feeling of hopelessness because there is no hope, because the good people in America are allowing these things to happen and many times actually funding the governments with your tax money. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And if you're unconcerned about the world you're leaving for your children, your grandchildren, continue doing nothing. But if you are concerned, then heed our warning, because we are trying to warn you that terrible things lie ahead. And we're the majority. There's only a small number of evil people behind what's going on today. But they're organized, and they control the media, and they control so much of what the government does today, and they control the great tax-exempt foundations and the great many of the great corporations. They have an agenda, and they're going to win. Unless, of course, you and the good people and God's people are willing to take a stand. Well, Camille was talking about the talk about the coming crisis in healthcare. Now, I practiced medicine for 45 years, counting my time in residency. I'm going to my 50th anniversary from graduation from medical school within the next couple of weeks. We didn't have a healthcare crisis until the government got involved and they started saying, oh, look at the healthcare crisis. We've got to have Medicare and we've got to have Medicaid. And, oh, look at all these people. They're losing their homes, the poor old people. Nobody went without medical care in those days. We had county hospitals and we took good care of the people. Right now, if you are indigent, just try and get good, regular health care. Go out to the county hospital and try to get it. And, of course, they're not staffed for it. And, of course, we have much worse health care we had before we moved into the socialized system we have now. And the next step will be into total chaos. It's not happening by accident. It's happening by crisis. They keep talking, we've just got to have more government. All you need to do is look at what happened to socialized medicine in England. They're moving back into private medicine because this system is such a chaotic. You go into Russia where they had socialized medicine, the only way you got medical care was to bribe the doctor and bribe the nurses and bribe the hospital administrator and bribe the surgeons. And that's how you get your medical care. You think it couldn't happen here? Ladies and gentlemen, the same spiritual forces are at work in America that were at work in Great Britain and in Russia and the Eastern European countries under socialism. And they're trying to get away from socialism, and of course we're heading into it. And I think this Model Emergency Health Powers Act is part of it. Why are they talking about health powers? Because they're using health to justify extending their power over your lives and the lives of your children. And the health of your children as well. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Camille has been watching what's going on and trying to help us get the information so we can bring it to you. Now, this legislation was in one of the committees, and they took out a lot of the legislation, and then they, of course, introduced this commission. But will this commission be able to implement all of these programs with the power of the governor?
Well, Dr. Stan, this is a part of the good news. You said that man wanted to listen to good news. Well, this is the part right now that is the good news. This bill got drastically amended and therefore got held back a lot because so many people protested this bill. I've been reading the legislative analysis on the bill as now, and it says the April version of this bill, heard on April 16th, generated substantial opposition. And they've got the word substantial opposition in italics. So, and also further down in legislative analyses, they usually list who supports and who opposes the bill. Well, it apparently received no group support because there it says none on file. But under opposition, it says the Orange County Retina Medical Group opposed, and letters from numerous individuals. Now, that may sound kind of weak, but when they put something like that in, that shows that there were a lot of people that opposed the bill in the initial form. And I would like to compliment all the people out there listening that may have written in letters about it, and I'd like to ask them to do it again because the bill is going to be heard in the Appropriations Committee.
All right, fine. And, of course, we've been telling our listeners to write, fax, email, and call again and again and again on this legislation because, believe me, the life you save could be very well your own or that of a loved one. And I will tell you one of the things that happened, and that is that somebody from the Capital Resource Center up there, which is affiliated with Focus on the Family, although it is not only a loose affiliation, they both work on the same issues, they actually went to the ACLU, and they said, here's a bill we can work together on. And they actually talked to a lot of the legislators about that.
Well, that's true. That's become one of the concerns now. The ACLU has felt that it is something that they don't want to support because of the mandates in it.
Amen to that. And I hate to find myself on the same side of the ACLU, but as long as they're on the right side of this issue, we want to congratulate them for it. And they realize the draconian implications of this legislation as far as the loss of personal freedom is concerned.
And I think another good thing is that there was only one no vote in the Assembly Health Committee, and that no vote came from Republican Assemblywoman Patricia Bates. And her legislative aide said that she didn't vote for it because she didn't like the mandates in it. Well, Patricia Bates is the vice chairman now of the Appropriations Committee. So she would be sympathetic to people calling in to her saying, you got to do your best to kill this bill in the Appropriations Committee.
All right, fine. So that's Patricia Bates. Do you have a telephone number or any
information? Her telephone number is area code 916-319-2073.
916-319-2073, and that's Teresa Bates?
No, Patricia.
Patricia Bates.
She's the vice chairman.
All right, fine. And so now you know who to call. That's Patricia Bates at 916-319. Is that 2073?
Correct.
All right, fine. And really, get on top of this. Call her, you know, and let people know. And you can write to her care of the Capitol building there in Sacramento. Did you have a zip code for the Capitol building in Sacramento?
95814.
95814. That would just be the state Capitol building and 95814. And just write up there and just tell them how important it is that this legislation be killed. And, of course, you can get some of the tapes we have. We actually have a copy of the original legislation. The original legislation, you were thinking how to do with health powers. They wanted to take away your guns. They wanted to be able to take away your property. They wanted to be able to destroy your property if they said it was contaminated. They wanted stipulations in there that you would have no rights. You would have no ability to come back. You couldn't complain or you couldn't bring litigation if you were forcibly, immunized, and there were some complications. I mean, this is amazing legislation. Why would they want to put in all the hold harmless clauses in there unless they thought there might be some harm to people?
After the bill got amended, I again called Assemblyman Richmond's office. He's the author of the bill, and spoke once again with his legislative aide and asked him why Richmond went ahead and voted for his bill after it had been so drastically amended. And he said, well, Richmond was very disappointed that it was amended, but it is still important to pass. And then he said, you know, it never has been about health care.
Well, it has to do with power, doesn't it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And what did he tell you what it was really about?
No, he didn't go on to say anything more than that, but he said it really never has been about health care, only about how health care is going to be delivered.
All right, and of course, ladies and gentlemen, I think you have to understand that much of this legislation that is passed really doesn't have anything to do with what they talk about. When they talk about their concern about endangered species, they're really talking about control of private property and how they've used the marbled marlin and the spotted owl and, you know, and the suckerfish and all of these things. What they really want to do is control property, and by so doing, to control people, and they lie. I mean, we've heard recently how they would take lynx hair that they got from a taxidermist and say, well, we just found this, you know, we just found this on a bush out there in the woods. There's lynx there. This has got to be protected area. They lie, and nothing's ever done to the people who lie. When you're in government, they've destroyed the homes and the families of 1,400 people up in the Klamath Basin with intentionally flawed information on suckerfish, saying we have to have all the water in the Klamath Reservoir. That's why we can't give any water for the livestock or for the animals or for the people. Knowing full well that, of course, suckerfish do a good, much, much better with very little water. And they breed far better if there's very little water than high water. But, of course, they use faulty and phony science because they have an agenda. And what's really rather frightening is what's their real agenda as far as the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. Now, you can actually get the original legislation. We have it. I think it's $10 by calling us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have a 4-tape set on the Office of Homeland Security, and there's one tape in there, actually, with an interview with Jane Orient. But I would suggest that you give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and get a copy of what Camille is talking about today. And we actually have the latest legislation. I would be glad to send that with you if you ask for it and you ordered the tape. Put on a couple of dollars for that. We'll give you the latest legislation. Of course, you'll see all the things that they've lined out here. But, of course, this legislation, like the phoenix, is not dead, and we want to stay right on top of it. Because remember, the phoenix is the bird, the mythical bird that comes out of the ashes to rise again. Are you concerned that they may amend any of this back again, Camille?
Well, I believe that when they get this committee together, all of the parts of the Model Health Act will come back in one form or another. The only thing they're apparently going to do now is they're going to have to do a great deal more to get the public support behind it, because once they get their commission together, they are going to then take this dog and pony show on the road.
All right, and we've got to be right there, doing everything we can to expose the fact that this is an agenda, a hidden agenda. Right now, we're going to have to tell you, our listeners, that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We hope that many of you out there will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day, 2 hours on shortwave, 3 hours on satellite, 5 hours on the Internet, and then, of course, being on various networks. We're on the American Christian Network and the American Freedom Network and the Genesis Network and the Radio Liberty Network and the Salem Network, and we have our own little network of stations that do take our weekend program, and we have an outreach across America. And if you're there and you're wondering what you can do to try to preserve this freedom for generations yet unborn, and you sometimes have sort of a helpless feeling, I know how you feel, but at least I have a voice, and I have a voice because Well, it's a long story, but we've gradually put together this network with the help of friends. And if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family that is really doing something, that is having an outreach, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Be part of us, the solution, rather than sitting around and rubbing your hands and saying, there's nothing I can do. The other side fears this. And what is the other side? Why, it's the representatives of the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, because behind all of the things that are going on are dark and sinister spiritual forces intent upon destroying what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Camille Giglio. And Camille, do you have a telephone number or a website that you'd like to get at? Camille is one of the California, it's a California Right to Life, isn't it?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you have a telephone number or certainly a website you'd like to...
A toll-free number would be 877-795-LIFE, L-I-F-E. And the website is the three W's and the dot and calwrighttolife.org. The two is a number instead of a word, so it's calwrighttolife.org.
And Camille is, of course, keeping track of this and helping us to stay on top of what's going on. And as long as we have several people who are really helping and really watching this very, very closely. And, you know, we are under attack on so many sides. And so you need people who will specialize in this. And Jeannie Soderman is helping do that. But Jeannie's having to take off right now, not going to be able to do it. So we're going to have to rely upon Camille to keep us abreast of what's going on. If you're out there in the listening audience and you have any questions, our number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. What's happening in the other states, Camille? Have they, changed or dramatically altered the legislation in other states, or have they passed this truly draconian legislation?
There's only one or two states that have actually passed it, but for anyone who would be really interested in learning that, if they would go to the ALEC site, A-L-E-C, that's American Legislative Exchange Council, they have a listing there of every state's bill and the most current status of that bill. And it would be, you can find out just about everything there. It's got quite a listing on everything. You were asking a little while back about whether the commission... or whether we would end up having the same things given to us that the original bill said. And there's one small little paragraph in here that pretty much tells that same thing exactly. It says it requires the commission's report to include, but not be limited to, definitions of public health emergency planning, reporting of disease, declaring a state of public health emergency. So it's not a terrorism attack. It could be whatever they determine a public health emergency to be.
And that, I think, is the most frightening thing about this. There is another agenda. We've got Pete calling us from Memphis. Is that Memphis, Tennessee, Pete?
Yes, sir.
Okay, do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment to make. It's already been codified by the Supreme Court, Marbury versus Madison, that an unconstitutional statute is no law at all. And it's a principle in law that it's as though the law had never been written. Now, my point is this. The Grover said they would take an end run around the Constitution, which means they would ignore it. So they're writing a bunch of trash legislation. You've got bureaucrats creating law like they did in, you were talking about these people that infringed on their property rights. And the American people just sit back and let them get away with it. Now, law enforcement took an oath to defend the Constitution. The military took an oath to defend it. Our forefathers fought and died to give us a Constitution, and yet we all sit around like a bunch of idiots and let these people get away with what they're doing.
You're absolutely right, Pete, and this is the tragic thing, but the big problem is the church is telling the people, oh, you don't have to be involved. Why, God, if you object to what your elected leaders are doing, why, you're in violation of God's law. God put those people there. No, we didn't. They are there because we allowed them, the evil people, to be in positions. And I agree with you. We've got to get the people involved.
Well, the Bible says that authority comes from God, and this authority we have now comes from Satan. So we're not beholden to it.
Amen to that. Thanks so much, Pete. Anything else you want to say?
No, that's about it.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, sir.
All right, fine. Well, we'll be out, and we'll be going back here in just a minute. I'm going to ask my producer, are we having problems again with our transmission?
Hello?
Okay, yeah. Who do we have on the line?
No, this is still me.
Do we have somebody calling in or not? I guess we don't. Okay, fine. Go ahead, Camille. I'm going to have to reconnect up our short wave again. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I just encourage everybody to send in their letters to Patricia Bates, who's the vice chairman of the Assembly Appropriations Committee in California, and to encourage her to do everything on her part to see that this bill does not get out of the Appropriations Committee. There's 7 Republicans on that committee and 16 Democrats. And it requires a majority vote in order to get it out of committee now that they took all the money out of it. So if we could get the 7 Republicans and get a couple of Democrats, we could stop this bill right in this position here. And then that man that called in, he would be happy, as would all of us, because the people would be speaking then.
Amen to that. Well, I think it's just so vitally important that people get involved. And again, of course, it's Patricia Bates, and you give her a number or call at 916-319-2073. Freedom is lost when good people do nothing. And believe me, the other side has infiltrated the religious seminaries, both Catholic and Protestant, many years ago to neutralize the church. The church at one time was the leader of this society. No longer. It simply goes along to get along and refuses to take a stand. It's about time that the people took a position of leadership. And if you've got a minister or a priest who will take a position of leadership, then you follow him. And if he doesn't, then you go right around him, because you have an obligation to generations yet unborn to try to preserve our freedom. You know, it's been said to be born free is an accident. To live free is a privilege. To die free is an obligation. What are you out there in the listening audience willing to do to preserve the freedom that we inherited from generations past, who sacrificed so greatly to preserve this freedom that was established a little over 200 years ago here in the Western Hemisphere? So, Camille, now, do you have any help up there? Is there any sort of an organized effort besides you and a few others? You mentioned that there was one group down in Orange County. We know that Capital Resources is interested, and we know that the ACLU has taken a stand on this.
Well, a couple of us have been working hard to try to convince the California State Republican Women Federated to take a position of opposition. Many of these organizations, the ones that you just mentioned, as well as the Republican Women, have just been kind of sitting back and watching the bill. They haven't been taking an active lobbying advocacy effort. So if there are people listening who also have access to the Republican Women Federated, then I urge them to call that organization and urge that they take an active position of opposing this bill because of the mandates in it that take away our First Amendment rights and our liberties.
Would you explain what you mean by mandates and how those mandates will impact on our freedom?
Well, if someone refuses to be vaccinated, for instance, they could be considered a danger to the community, and they would first of all be isolated, and then from isolation they could very well be quarantined.
And of course, they can actually face charges for misdemeanor, which means fines and imprisonment.
And yes, it does. And on top of that, if there are any health officials or pharmacists who would refuse to cooperate in all of this, they could very well lose their license, to deliver health care or to be a pharmacist. There's that compulsory aspect of it.
And, of course, they have the ability to draft medical personnel, doctors and nurses and others, and force them to go along with whatever they're told to do. They have no right. They can't say, we think this is foolish, we think it's wrong, you will do it. You know, you will do what you are told to do.
There's a great deal, apparently, to be said, in a sense, for prevention and preparedness and all of this. If there are such things as infections and illnesses, people can help themselves by enhancing their immunity through taking vitamins and so forth and so on. They may not have to be vaccinated, but people who could have adverse effects to this, young children, we have no idea what it is they're going to require people to be vaccinated with, nor do we know for sure what materials are used in this vaccination. You know, many vaccines these days are actually made from products that would just kind of make you shiver, you know, from human, you would know more about this than I do, but it made from human cells.
From aborted fetuses and similar things, right?
Right. So all of these things not only might compromise people's health, but it will compromise their moral principles as well. And they will be betwixt the devil and the deep blue sea. They'll be told if they don't get vaccinated, they'll be quarantined or they could become ill and die if they don't get the care. But that's an uncertainty. They're going to be trading on people's fear.
And the other thing is you may be vaccinated and you may die as a result of the vaccine. And anybody who has any question about that needs to get Tom Clancy's book, Rainbow Six, and read it. And I recommend that very strongly. In fact, I think if I have time, I'm going to start carrying that Rainbow Six by Tom Clancy. Must reading, especially in view of the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. We're just about out of time. Camille, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, again, I do believe in the citizen advocate process. There's a great deal to be said for it. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of people to make the legislature sit up and take notice, but apparently they did on this particular bill. So, again, the input from the public is what's needed, and the input in the voting booth is also what's needed. We aren't going to have legislators that are going to uphold moral principles until we demand that.
Okay. And what do they say? The legislature doesn't see the light till they feel the heat.
That's right.
What committee is it going to next?
It's going to the Assembly Appropriations Committee.
Okay, and that's Patricia Bates at 916-319-2073.
That's correct.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Camille. And please keep us advised what's going on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we just ask you to pray for America. And pray for revival, because, you know, if American people don't turn back to God, why, God is never going to bless this country again, and we're going to lose what we have here, the most wonderful country in the world. And lastly, we ask you to remember to please pray for Radio Liberty, for my ministry, for our provision and protection. So until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.